Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and we might be in the middle of January, in the middle of the Giants off season, but lots of news to talk about. We found out on Wednesday morning that former Giants general manager George Young will finally be in the Hall of Fame. We've also got lots of interesting stuff to talk about with the hiring of Joe Judge as head coach and the hiring of assistant coaches to work with Coach Judge. Here to help me talk about all of that, break all of that down, is veteran New York Post columnist and a guy who's been a good friend of Big Blue View around the Giants facility, Steve Serby. Steve, thanks for coming on.
Hey, my pleasure, Ed.
Hey, so before we recorded, and we are recording on Wednesday morning, we found out this morning that George Young will finally be elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Your immediate thoughts on that news?
Well, long overdue. George Young resurrected the Giants franchise back in 1979 when they hadn't 15 years of lousy football. We've had enough. Remember that? And I think you were the one that flew the banner overhead, weren't you, Ed?
I don't know about that, but I have been sort of banging that drum for a while.
Yeah, you know, everybody, many Giant fans, any Giant fans that know the history of the franchise know about the fumble and the fans flying that banner over Giant Stadium, and the franchise was in absolute disarray, and Tim Mara and Wellington Mara, the owners, were engaged in a feud that Pete Rozelle eventually solved or helped solve by getting Don Shula's right-hand man, who happened to be George Young, who turned out to be the Hall of Fame choice. What a choice that was. Changed the course of Giants history, brought two Super Bowls, brought Phil Simms in 1979 and Lawrence Taylor in 1981, and then later on Michael Strahan in 92, I believe. And also, don't forget, Mark Bavaro was a fourth-round pick. Now, Young made his mistakes like everyone else. Jared Bunch was a first-round pick. Eric Moore was a first-round pick. The year that Jumbo Elliott was a second-round pick. Derek Brown, the tight end, all first-round mistakes. But, you know, they all make mistakes. But the good that George Young did far outweighed the bad.
And by the way... Oh, go ahead.
By the way, you know that Joe Judge was not even born when Lawrence Taylor was drafted.
Oh man, you know that's crazy to think about that. Steve, you and I are getting old.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know.
I looked it up. I knew you wanted to have me on, and the draft, the Lawrence Taylor draft, was in April. Of 81, and Joe Judge was born New Year's Eve, 1981.
Wow. So brand new era for the Giants. And you know, we'll get to that for a second. I did want to ask you one more George Young question before we talk about the hiring of Joe Judge. But it's interesting to me how George Young is still talked about around the Giants facility, how it still feels like, you know, although the game has changed and the people have changed, it still feels a lot like George Young has an impact on the way the Giants do things.
Well, yeah, because after George Young came Ernie Accorsi, and they were buddies, and they were philosophically aligned. Parcells was philosophically aligned with George Young. Tom Coughlin was philosophically aligned with Parcells. Dave Gettleman is philosophically aligned with Coughlin and Young and Parcells. They all believe bigger is better. It was George Young who coined the phrase "dance of the elephants." He wanted to win in the trenches, and the Giants under Gettleman certainly believe that way. Now the game has changed, obviously, but you know, it's the Northeast Carter smash mouth approach that the Giants still cling to.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, by the way, do you know, guess who Tim Mara wanted as the GM before George Young was reached as the solution? Tim Mara wanted Gil Brandt.
Well, that wouldn't have worked out so bad.
No, probably wouldn't have been, but Gil Brandt's still going strong, but that was interesting. I thought that was very interesting. Gil Brandt would have been a great choice too, but no complaints with the Hall of Famer George Young. Young always, I remember he used to say when he was looking for a head coach, now Ray Handley was a mistake, obviously, after Parcells left, but what he was looking for in a head coach was someone who was maladjusted and a masochist, somewhat of a masochist. And someone with thick skin. Now, Ray Handley didn't pass those tests at all, and then he had a pivot to Dan Reeves, who was his third choice after Coughlin and Dave Wannstedt turned the job down. Wannstedt ended up coaching the Bears. Coughlin ended up going back to Boston College. But look, the guy's a Hall of Famer. George Young should have been in years ago.
All right, so speaking, you know, we talked a little bit about Joe Judge, and I don't know if he passes the George Young maladjusted test, but the first thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, before we even talk about Judge, how long have you been at the post now?
Well, 1972 was my first year before you were born, and I've been at the post ever since, except for a brief excursion at the New York Daily News in 93, for 16 months in 93 and part of 94.
So first of all, I have to say that, you know, thank you for making me a whole lot younger than I actually am. beside the point, I just kind of wanted to establish that in case people weren't sure how long you had been there. You've been through a whole lot of these coaching changes, you know, in New York with different New York sports teams, with the Jets, with the Giants, and whatever. Do you have any idea how many of these you've actually been through?
You mean in all sports? I'd say 10,576, I believe it is now. lately, especially, we haven't seen much winning in New York sports lately, so, you know, except for the Yankees. The Yankees had Girardi for a decade, and now it looks like they should have Aaron Boone there for a while, too. But beyond that, you know, the Mets are probably on the verge of, I would guess, firing Carlos Beltran for his involvement in that sign-stealing fiasco. So, I've seen a lot of turnover in a lot of franchises.
So,
a lot of upheaval.
So you've sat through a whole lot of these introductory press conferences, like we sat through last, I think it was Thursday, you know, with Joe Judge. And when you think about these press conferences, before we get to what he said and how he said it, just
in your perspective, in your experience, do these things, do these introductory press conferences and what gets said and what kind of impression a coach makes, do they matter?
No.
They're just fun for us to talk about and write about and opine about,
yeah.
I guess.
Look, except for Ben McAdoo's suit, I thought he had a good press conference. Pat Shurmur, remember the lights went out and he was totally he was not flustered at all. He cracked a joke. And
that's right.
Most everyone, it's hard not to win the press conference because the fan base is always looking for change, for somebody new and exciting, because there's a reason that there's a new coach, because the previous coach didn't win. So if you can't win the press conference, then you've got no chance at all. I don't remember Ray Hanley's opening press conference, but I doubt if it was a disaster. I mean, the guy was bright, but he was obviously in over his head. But almost every coach or manager in every press conference wins the press conference. The problem for many of them is when the games begin.
That is very, very true, Steve. So initially, let's just talk a little bit about what we heard from Joe Judge on Thursday, though. I mean, he was pretty forceful. He was pretty direct. You could see why, you know, John Mara and Dave Gettleman said that they kind of fell in love with him when they interviewed him on Monday. Just, you know, your thoughts in general on what we heard from him last week.
Well, he looked like a very, to me, I mean, people made the comparison to Tom Coughlin's opening or introductory press conference. I looked at him and I saw a big commanding presence that reminded me of Bill Parcells, actually. But the message is almost always the same. They all want a tough, smart team that's fundamentally sound and doesn't beat itself, right? You don't hear a coach get up at a football coach get up and say, "Yeah, I want a finesse team that doesn't tackle well." You don't hear that, and you won't hear that. But look, he had a commanding presence. He seemed very bright. He is very bright. He's a teacher, and you got the feeling from him that he's a no nonsense guy. Now he's not, you know, Shurmur came aboard and everybody was excited that he was going to be an offensive guru, a quarterback whisperer who could get whatever was left out of Eli Manning and then guide and develop the next Eli Manning. So that's why he was hired to replace McAdoo. Again, McAdoo, another offensive guy. So this is not an offensive guy. He's going to need a Jason Garrett or someone of that ilk, I believe, to bring along Daniel Jones. That's a very important hire. But this is an overseer. This is the CEO that Dave Gettleman talked about when he hired Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur was a good offensive coach, good football man, but not a CEO. To me, Shurmur was a vice president. Joe Judge, to me, looks like a president.
That's an interesting way to put it. And you've seen all different kinds of coaches, and we saw Tom Coughlin was a CEO-type head coach. Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur were really one side of the ball guys. I've always liked the CEO-type head coach. I know there are some guys in the league who are really successful as one side of the ball head coaches. Is that your preference as well, you know, for a guy that sort of steps back and oversees the whole program, or does it not matter to you?
No, that's my preference. I mean, you know, even Sean McVay had a strong defensive coordinator in Wade Phillips. So, and Belichick obviously is the classic CEO, but the key for Judge and for these guys is to hire a great staff. Now, Judge hired Patrick Graham. We'll see how that pans out. He obviously knows him, obviously trusts him, believes in him, but he's got to hire the offensive coordinator hire is a very important one. So, yes, I prefer a CEO who delegates and who sees the big picture. I think that's the way to go now in today's NFL.
I happen to agree. I know some of these guys. Andy Reid has been successful as really an offensive side of the ball, you know, play calling head coach. But I just like the CEO head coach because there's so much that gets involved in it. But, Steve, you mentioned the assistant coaches and the staff. And I tweeted this morning because people are freaking out about the fact that Joe Brady, the coach, the assistant coach from LSU, landed in Carolina with Matt Rhule, and the Giants actually interviewed, you know, Mike Shula for the offensive coordinator position, and they've hired a couple of guys that nobody ever heard of. I just get a kick out of people freaking out about hires that they know nothing about. I mean, it's interesting that everybody can have an opinion when they still don't know anything. But I mean, we're going to have to wait and see how a lot of these hires play out. But as you said, this offensive coordinator is really, you know, what it comes down to, because Daniel Jones's future is really what it's all about for the Giants.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But look, you're going to have to, Giant fans are just going to have to trust Joe Judge. You know, they loved him on press conference day, and he knows Joe Judge showed, at least at the very beginning, that he's learned lessons from Belichick. He's learned his lessons from Nick Saban. I'm sure he'll tap into Belichick and ask his opinion of whatever coaches he plans on hiring, whatever other coaches. You just have to trust Joe Judge on this. And just because Joe Brady is hired to be an offensive coordinator doesn't mean he's going to have success that's going to take the Panthers to the Super Bowl. Now, yeah, Giant fans would have been very excited about Joe Brady, but they would have been very excited about – they've been excited about – they were excited about Ben McAdoo when he got here too, right?
Right, so, and they were excited about – I look at you know, people were excited about Steve Spagnuolo coming back as defensive coordinator, and what we learned about Spagnuolo is, you know, and then they were excited about James Betcher because
right.
of his resume, and that didn't work. And I just remember what Spag said when he came back the second time. He said, "I'm not a miracle worker." He said, "Coaches are not miracle workers. We need players." And that's what it comes down to. I can't freak out about Patrick Graham's work in Miami because he had no players.
Right, exactly. Look, if Cam Newton comes back healthy, and that's a big if, Joe Brady's going to be a lot better as an offensive coordinator. Joe Brady also had a fellow by the name of Joe Burrow, correct?
Right.
Yeah, that Joe Burrow is going to make a lot of offensive coordinators look good. He's going to make Zach Taylor look a lot better as a head coach than Andy Dalton and Ryan Finley did last year. So, you just have to trust Joe Judge. I think he'll find the right guy and the right fit for him. It's got to be the right fit for him and for Daniel Jones.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at Mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, The Art of Simplified Finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I wasn't really going to get into this, but before I let you go, I want to ask you, you know, about the guy who is theoretically choosing those players. And we know that the Giants call it a collaboration, and we know that Dave Gettleman doesn't quote-unquote dictate, you know, who the players are going to be. But just in general, what are your thoughts on Gettleman's couple of years with the Giants and their decision to keep him as general manager going forward?
Well, look, the Giants, it's not their way to fire GMs after 2 years. They go way back with Gettleman. They believed in Gettleman. You know, Gettleman came in and said, I'm going to kick ass. Well, obviously, he didn't kick ass, but he has made some good draft choices, and I think he and Joe Judge will work well together. Joe Judge will be able to help him find free agents, which is where Gettleman has really struggled, getting the right free agents. I think Judge's personnel acumen will help Gettleman find better free agents than he has so far, which really isn't saying much when you look at the Omames and who else. There's a litany of free agents that didn't pan out.
Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what we forget, what a lot of us in the media forget all at times, is the mess that Gettleman did inherit. And the Giants have gone from one rock bottom to the next, it seems. And, look, you could make the argument that Gettleman should have gone the same time Shurmur did, but that's not the Giants' way. And like as John Mara did mention on one occasion, that Gettleman did spend the first year with the Giants fighting for his life, which should not be overlooked, and good for him, and thank God for him that he's healthy again. And I think that Judge and he will be looking for the same kind of players, and I think Judge's personnel background will actually get he and Gettleman on the same page, and they'll find the right players for the Joe Judge Giants.
All right, Steve. As long as the Joe Judge Giants don't, you know, continue down the James Dolan New York Knicks path, I think the Giants fans will be happy.
Well, no, they better not, because if they are, then Joe Judge will be gone after 2 years, and Gettleman will be gone with him. Gettleman said at that press conference, at Joe Judge's press conference, that we're not as far away as people think. Now, a lot will depend on a lot of those young defensive players, the Dexter Lawrences and the Lorenzo Carters, and those young defensive backs developing under the next head coach, under Judge and Patrick Graham. We'll see. I mean, they do have some young players that they need to develop while Daniel Jones takes that second-year leap that we all thought Sam Darnold would, except Darnold, of course, you just pray that Daniel Jones does not come down with mono. That's all I can say.
Yeah, let's not go there. Mono or some other unique way to miss games in his second year.
And they have the fourth pick in the draft. Who do you want them to draft, Ed?
At this point, it's either got to be an offensive tackle or Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker slash hybrid kind of player. Who I think, when I listen to Joe Judge talk about the kind of players he wants, I think about Isaiah Simmons. I don't know about you, yeah, but I think about Simmons.
Well, one of my sports editors wants the Giants to draft Isaiah Simmons. The esteemed Mark Hale, my right hand man in the one of my right hand men, but. Then again, it's been how many years now since the Giants drafted Carl Banks, 1984, last linebacker they picked in the first round?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the linebacker position is one that Giants fans scream about so much, but the reality of it is when you look at defenses, and I like Simmons not specifically because he's a linebacker, but because he's more of what coaches nowadays call a chess piece, guy that you can move around. But the linebacker position per se, as you and I, you know, kind of learned what a linebacker is, that really doesn't exist anymore, or it's not as important as it used to be.
Right, but look at the cast of characters the Giants have returning at linebacker. Who are they?
Other than Ryan Connolly, I couldn't tell you.
Exactly. Well, that's one argument for drafting an Isaiah Simmons, I guess. The guy's a playmaker. That's his position, playmaker. But again, since they haven't drafted a linebacker in the first round since 1984. Again, the top priority, if there's an offensive tackle that's rated equally with Isaiah Simmons, you've got to protect your franchise quarterback, especially since somebody's going to need to block Chase Young for the next decade.
Yeah, that is very true. But, you know, but it's funny because that's another thing that as much as Dave Gettleman talks about hog mollies and loves hog mollies and all of that, I don't think he has ever drafted a tackle in the first round in his time in Carolina or with the Giants as GM.
Yeah, he likes drafting running backs in the first round, I've noticed.
Yeah, which let's not do that again. You know, let's not do that again. You know, the Giants have their running back, so let's not do that again.
No, you won't have to worry about that. But McCaffrey, he picked McCaffrey the year before he picked Barkley, and those two have worked out pretty well, I might add. But, he hasn't traded down either. Maybe this year he trades down. If the Dolphins want to come up and take Tua or Justin Herbert, you know, he's sitting there at four, the Dolphins are at five. Maybe he can bluff the Dolphins into trading up to four.
That's a Belichick philosophy right there for you as well. So the Giants being at four with quarterback needy teams right below them does put them in an interesting spot. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, then you know they need some offensive line help. They need a pass rusher. They need linebackers, like you said. So Joe Judge has his work cut out for him, but priority number one right now is to get an experienced offensive coordinator for Daniel Jones.
Exactly. Hey, Steve, last question for you before I let you go. It's been kind of amazing to me as the season wound down and as we've gotten away from the season, it's a little bit amazing that the 16-year career of Eli Manning and the probable end of that career with the Giants and probably hit the end of his NFL career has all sort of been an afterthought, you know, because of the way things went down. Just, you know, it, as a final thing here, just to offer your thoughts on the career that Eli Manning had with the Giants.
Well, I was there when he first put on the Chargers cap, and then less than an hour later, I believe it was, he switched to the Giants cap because he didn't want to play in San Diego. You know, it turns out Ernie Accorsi obviously drafted Eli Manning. So in an indirect way, you can credit George Young for drafting Eli Manning because Accorsi was George Young's hand-picked assistant, succeeded George Young. And so Eli's a first ballot Hall of Famer in my view, not only for the two Super Bowls, but for his 210-game Ironman streak, which should not have ended at 210, as we all know, but a guy that showed up for his team every single day and set an example of class and grace under pressure and how you handle being the face of a franchise in the New York market. Yes, he was 117, but he was so clutch, and his teammates revere him to this day, old and young. So there's no doubt in my mind he's a Hall of Famer. What do you think, Ed?
Oh, I agree. I don't know if he's going to make it on the first ballot. I think he's a Hall of Famer. You know, personally, you know, people, because quarterbacks get more blame than they should and more credit than they should, people want to blame Eli Manning for the last 6 or 7 years with the Giants. And in my view, and I'm interested to see if you agree with this, my view is that the Giants as an organization let Eli Manning down far more than he ever let them down.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, you know, you could go back to the Eric Flowers draft and keeping him there for 3 years, that didn't help. And they've had a revolving door. It seems like they've had a revolving set of offensive linemen ever since that Snee, Soibert, Deal, O'Hara, McKenzie era. And, you know, Eli obviously was a statue later on in his career, and he's not the modern-day guy that can improvise and get out of the pocket. We know all that. So he needs an offensive line that can keep him upright. And when Dave Gettleman got here, he said, we got to fix the offensive line. Well, he didn't fix it. He upgraded it a little bit, but he didn't fix it enough. And by that time, Eli was 37, and his best years were clearly behind him. So there was an opportunity after that Super Bowl 46. There was about a 3 or 4 year period where Eli could have won another Super Bowl with better help in front of him and around him, no question.
All right, and Steve. I will as well.
You know, he was always available, always accessible. You know, so many quarterbacks nowadays speak one day a week and then they don't want to be bothered. Eli, if you had a question for him on a Friday, you could go up to him. He was such a gentleman, and he'll be missed throughout that building.
Yes, he will, Steve. Hey, thank you very much for spending some time, for dropping some George Young knowledge on me. You know, I learned a couple things. I had no idea that Tim Mara had wanted Gil Brandt. So appreciate your dropping some knowledge on us, and we'll have to do this again.
All right, anytime, man. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Thanks,
Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. Our thanks to Steve Serby for joining us and dropping some knowledge on us. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Check out our ongoing coverage on the website as we continue to give you as much information as we can about the Giants' search for assistant coaches to join Joe Judge's staff. And as we begin to get you prepared for the 2020 NFL draft with Chris Flum doing position reviews right now. We're also reviewing what the Giants roster looked like throughout the 2019 season and reviewing positions that we think where we think the Giants will need help entering the upcoming season. So stay with us for all of that. And we thank you for listening and we'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.